Possible, would you kneel with me in a word of prayer?
Our kind and gracious Heavenly Father, as we do approach Thy throne at this time, it is indeed with thankful hearts, Father, that we have the opportunity to come and to hear Thy word preached, that we have an opportunity to come in fellowship one with another. We pray, Father, at this time, inviting Thy Spirit to be here this hour with us. We ask that you would touch the heart and the mind of this, our brother who is to stand before us, that you would give him understanding of those things that you would have to bring. We pray, Father, that you would help him deliver the message that you have placed upon his heart. Now we pray for each one of us that are present, that you would bless us and touch our hearts and minds, that we may be alert and awake to the things that he'd have to say, that we might be able to apply them in our life. We pray, Father, for the many who are not present this night, that wherever they be in this world, that you might touch their hearts and minds and strengthen them. Be with the many of our number who are sick and afflicted at this time, that you might lift them up. They may again meet with us. We pray for those who are spiritual sick, that you bless them. Be with our brethren in the missionary field, Father, as they endeavor to reach out unto the children of men and strengthen those who are isolated. We pray that you bless them. Help them in their travels daily and in their endeavor to serve you. Now we do again invite your Spirit here, Father, giving you thanks for the opportunity that we have at this time. And ask that you would bless us in it. And these things we pray in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
It's certainly my pleasure to be up here at this time with our brother. And I'd ask that we might all lend a ear to the things he'd have to say and give him our attention, as well as I'd ask that we might utter a prayer in our hearts for him as he stands before us, as well as for ourselves, that we might be able to comprehend and understand the things he'd have to say. I give you our brother Harold.
First of all, I would like to ask something from you, my brothers and sisters. Junella called her mom and talked to her mom this morning and found out that her brother-in-law has cancer of the colon, and he's to be operated on this coming Thursday. So I would ask an interest in your prayers on his behalf. His name is Burke. I would like to read a part of a song we we sing quite often. That's number 186. The title to this song is Sweet Peace, the Gift of God's Love. The third verse reads, when Jesus as Lord I had crowned, my heart with this peace did abound. In him the rich blessing I found, sweet peace, the gift of God's love. And then, of course, the chorus that says, peace, peace, sweet peace, wonderful gift from above. A wonderful, wonderful peace, sweet peace, the gift of God's love. This, I believe, is, I don't know, sometimes to say it isn't proper to talk not quite as you should over the pulpit and all, not to use slang at all. But in the common words of today, that's where it is at. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the peace that Christ and God gives. Can you imagine in your life, what is the gospel? We say it's the word of Christ. It's the word of God. It's a way to live. It's a pattern to pattern our lives by. This is on the surface. This is what we see. This is what we think about. This is the word we say when we want to explain it. Now, let's not use words. I'm going to have to, but you don't. You just use your feelings. The gospel of Jesus Christ if it is in your life, what is it that causes you to think of that gospel? What is it that causes you to be aware? What feelings do you have? Do you feel that by being in the gospel, you have a place of rest? Do you feel that you're being guided continuously? It's like a child when it's hurt. And the mom takes that little child up in the arm and soothes it. Is this what you feel in the gospel? Is this what that peace that Christ gives us brings to you? That peace. He gave everything. He gave years of his life. He gave his life. He withstood all manner of temptation. The many hurts and bruises that he had, all of this, that he might better understand us. Oh, you say, I know that. We've been told that so many times. But all this so that when his peace came to us, it would just fit us. It's just like a glove. It wouldn't leave any room for anything. It would just fit us. It would just envelop us. The peace. Christ is peace. To me, you can't live the gospel. You can't believe in Christ unless you have his peace. I don't feel that I'm explaining it as I feel. It isn't pity, it's understanding. It isn't patting you on the back and saying it's all right. It's showing you that it is or is not all right. In 1 Nephi, the third chapter, verse 189, it's a short verse, it says this, "And whoso shall publish peace." Now, I don't mean get out and put in a newspaper or write it or something and publish it. That's not what I mean. "And whoso shall publish peace." Now, if I couldn't talk, I couldn't write, I had no way of communicating in that manner, how could I publish peace? By being as near as I could to Christ. "Yea, tidings of great joy, how beautiful upon the mountain shall they be." In other words, the more you are like Christ, the more you endeavor to follow his pattern, the more beautiful upon the mountain are you going to be. On page 39, I want to restart with verse 213. "Therefore, woe unto the Gentiles, if it so be that they harden their hearts against the Lamb of God. For the time cometh, saith the Lamb of God, that I will work a great and a marvelous work among the children of men, a work which shall be everlasting, either on the one hand or on the other, either to the convincing them unto peace." Let me read the rest of it. "And life eternal, or unto the deliverance of them to the hardness of their hearts and the blindness of their minds, unto their being brought down into captivity, and also unto destruction, both temporally and spiritually, according to the captivity of the devil, of which I have spoken." Let's go back over to the beginning of the verse. "Either to the convincing them unto peace." So they don't war anymore? So they don't argue with their neighbor? That's not the peace. The peace, again, is the gospel of Christ. "Either to the convincing them unto peace and life eternal." So what is peace? It is life eternal. Life eternal comes from what? From living the gospel. If we live the gospel, we'll have Christ's peace with us. Something that will take away the hardships. As Andy said this morning, not literally take away that hardship, but, well, a good example of it is when the Nephites were in bondage to the Lamanites. Remember, under King Noah and about that time? Where the Lord caused that their burdens should be light. They had the burden. It continued with them. But it was as if they didn't have it. He gave them the strength and all to go ahead. All right. So the Lord doesn't take away our burdens, but he makes them light. Possibly to other people in the world, we still have that burden. And possibly they feel a little sorry for us. But couldn't we just say to them, I'm not burdened. The Lord is to lift it from my shoulders. Would they really believe you? If they knew the peace of Christ, they would believe you. Page 661. This says something again about publishing peace. Verse 78. And then shall they say, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings unto them, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings unto them of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. Now again, what comes from peace? Salvation. If you have that peace, the peace that is Christ, you will have salvation. Because if you have the peace that Christ has, you will be as he is, like he is. I'm not saying we're going to attain it. Personally, I've talked to different people. They say, we can become perfect. But you know, I've never been able to quite understand being perfect. Getting near there is possible to me. I can think of that. But to be perfect as Christ was, no, I don't believe that there could be a living soul other than Christ that could be perfect as he was. But yet, we can become very near. Remember, Nephi was so near that the Lord promised him, said, look, whatever you seal or let loose on earth, I will in heaven. He didn't ask him if you will do this or if you will do that. Because of Nephi's faith and because of the peace that Nephi had, the Lord said, whatever you seal upon earth, I will seal in heaven. Turn to John. I want to read the 27th verse of the 14th chapter. And Christ is speaking, and he said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. If you didn't know of the gospel, know of this peace that is Christ, would you be more afraid, you believe, than you are now? Of the many things that may come. Don't you at times now feel, you realize, you understand that the Lord has protected you, has blessed you so very much in your life. And you've come to feel that the Lord will continue to bless me. Then in the next breath you feel, if I try to be worthy, if I try to live the gospel, he will protect me. All right. So we aren't near as troubled. I'm not. I'm not troubled about what's going to happen to mankind. The Lord has told us what will happen, how it will happen, why it will happen, what we have to do to cause it to happen in a certain way. As he said, we can have life eternal or have damnation. This is all explained. We don't have to wonder about it. But yet we are assured, because we are trying to live that gospel, trying to have that peace that Christ has offered to us, that is His. It is His. But He will share it with each of us, that we might have contentment. Is not a word. It's not the right word. There's so many times that I wish I had could speak more fluently, could say the things that I really feel in that respect. Again, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. It is there for the taking. He has offered it. He leaves us for, leaves it for us to use, to partake of, to be a part of. And there is so much in life that we must do if we're going to be a partaker. So many things in our lives that we'll have to change. Well, I know. We're baptized members of the Church of Christ. We've known the gospel. We've known it, some of us known it for years. In a way, that doesn't cut any ice. Unless you're living the gospel. If you're not living the gospel or trying to live the gospel to the best of your ability, you're worse off than if you haven't known it at all. Turn to John 20th chapter, 19th verse. Start with verse number 19. Let me start with verse 18. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that He had spoken these things unto her, the things that she had told them. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst, and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. Now, what did I read back here? He said, Peace, my peace I leave with you. Now here He says, Peace be unto you. Let me continue. And when He had so said, He showed unto them His hands and His side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when He had said this, He breathed on them and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. To begin with, He said, Peace be unto you. Then He continued, says, Peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you, sending them into their ministry. True. What I'm saying is that the peace that Christ has, when He says, my peace, He could say, my gospel. But you see, peace is a more loving word than the word gospel. That's a word. But peace, oh, you hug that to yourself. Peace is more meaningful to you, you know, in a way, than the word gospel. Page 560 in the Book of Mormon. This is Hellman, second chapter. 112th verse says, "And it came to pass that there came a voice unto them, yea, a pleasant voice, as if it were a whisper, saying, Peace, peace be unto you, because of your faith in my well-beloved, who was from the foundation of the world. Peace be unto you, because of your faith, because of your belief. This is what must be for you to have that peace." Ephesians, second chapter. The 13th and 14th verse. "But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us," between the Lord and us. We can just skip the next verse and read the next two. "And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh." Now, it doesn't say he preached the gospel, does it? He preached peace to them. He preached himself. In Romans, fourteenth chapter, the 17th verse. "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost." The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's rewards of peace. That's rewards for working. In 2 Nephi, 11th chapter and 73rd verse, just a short one, it says, "But the Son of Righteousness shall appear unto them, and he shall heal them, and they shall have peace with him." This is speaking of the Nephites, you know, for three generations. It says, until three generations shall have passed, and maybe more. Remember among the Nephites? Okay, this was the promise. That he would come among them, and he would heal them, and they shall have peace with him until three generations shall have passed away. Don't you wish you could have been those people living in that day? The Lord knew that they would live the gospel. And he said that they shall have peace with him, with Christ, for a great many years. So if I'd have lived back then, well, maybe my trials wouldn't be so bad. Maybe they might be worse. But the promise was that they would. He knew that these people, that their faith, that they would work, that they would have that peace to be with them. We have the promise that that peace will be with us when or if we do certain things. How much of the peace of Christ we have with us will determine how hard we will work, and yes, how easy it will be for us to live the life that Christ would have us to live. Another place, Nephi says, "Yea, why should I give way to temptation that the evil one have place in my heart to destroy my peace and afflict my soul?" Destroy his peace or his soul? This peace we read of is not peace between two countries that are warring, but it is the very life, of those who desire to have salvation with the Lord. Romans 5 and 1 says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have our peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." We have peace with God. We have place with God. We can be with God by living this peace that Christ gives to us. Turn to 3 Nephi, 9th chapter. I think it's what? Oh, I'm wrong. 2 Nephi, 9th chapter, page 128. Now, this we find many places in the Scriptures. We find it here in the Book of Mormon. We find it in several places in the New Testament, in the Old Testament of the Bible, where it speaks of this particular thing happening. Verse 66 says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." He is peace. And this child was born that he might go through all the many things that we've read, that we know, the story of his life, the many things he accomplished. Why? That we might have peace, that we might have salvation, that we might live a life that would glorify his name, the name of our Father, that would bring joy to Christ, to God, you wonder how deep sometimes that joy is. We joy different times in different things. If one of our little ones accomplishes something that we don't, you only have something that's really nice, we don't only have just joy in them, we say proud of them. True. How deep is that joy in our lives? And how deep is the joy that God, that Christ has, when one soul takes a further step in the belief of them, in the living of that gospel, takes one step toward salvation, the joy that is theirs. We know that on this earth that Christ wept. We know that on this earth he took an earthly body. We believe, we know, that in heaven, that his is a spiritual body. He doesn't weep. I'm saying he doesn't weep tears in heaven. Literal tears. But how much deeper it goes. We sometimes say about a person, if they're really, really hurt very bad, that their tears are dry. There isn't the relief of the water coming, of the tears coming. There isn't that relief. Their tears are dry. The hurt is so terribly deep. Is that the way Christ cries? When we aren't living our life. He's not selfish. He gave his life for us. But even though he gave his life for us, we still have our own free agency. We can do as we choose. He doesn't demand anything of us. He has given us commandments we must do if we are going to attain that salvation with him. Philippians 4th chapter. Read about 3 verses there, starting with the 7th. And the peace of God, or we could say Christ, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The peace of God, which passeth all understanding. Too deep, too precious for us to understand. But the harder we work, the closer to the Lord we become, the more we can feel that feeling of understanding. And yet when I know a little in my life, when I begin to really understand, then I'm sorrowful. Because I realize I haven't been doing as I should. That deeper understanding comes and it convicts you of being sluggish. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Turn to James. This is the 3rd chapter. Verse 18. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. The fruit of righteousness is sown in peace, by peace, through peace, of them that make peace. Again, we're not talking of difficulties among mankind. We're talking of the peace that comes from Christ. He is sown in peace of them that make peace. How do we make that peace? We can't make it of ourselves. For us to make that peace, we have to have the peace of Christ, the peace of God. Coming with that peace is understanding. Yes, it's faith, but it's knowledge too. There's times that only by yourselves, I know it is with me, if I'm by myself and there's no distractions, or rather, that I can concentrate enough that whatever distractions there are put aside, then you begin to feel the deepness of that peace. You begin to have just a feeling of that understanding of Christ and His life. We read words of what He went through. They are words. If we read Him and that peace of Christ is with us, we understand those words. Not only understand, but we feel that which the words express. It is as if we were there. It is as if almost it was us instead of Christ. Then, oh, how your heart bursts. How much your desire is then that you can be a better person than you have been. I think there are times like those when we better our lives because of that understanding, because of the spirit that God grants unto you, that spirit of understanding. I want to read from 3 Nephi, the 5th chapter. This is where Christ brought His peace to these people. Just read this is chapter 5, the beginning. It says, Christ, or Jesus Christ, showeth Himself unto the people of Nephi, as a multitude were gathered together in the land Bountiful, and did minister unto them, and on this wise did He show Himself unto them. I'm going to read a little bit here. Not too much. Now it came to pass that there was a great multitude gathered together of the people of Nephi round about the temple which was in the land Bountiful. And they were marveling and wondering one with another, and were showing one to another the great marvelous change which had taken place. The earthquakes, land all erupted, and so forth. And they were also conversing about this Jesus Christ, of whom the sign had been given concerning His death. And it came to pass that while they were thus conversing one with another, they heard a voice, as if it came out of heaven, and they cast their eyes round about, for they understood not the voice which they heard. And it was not a harsh voice, neither was it a loud voice. Nevertheless, and notwithstanding it being a small voice, it did pierce them that did hear to the center, insomuch that there was no part of their frame that did not cause to quake, yea, it did pierce them to the very soul, and it caused their hearts to burn. This is not seeing Jesus as yet. This is the voice that came to them, preparing them. And it came to pass that again they heard the voice, and they understood it not. And again the third time they did hear the voice, and did open their ears to hear it. And their eyes were toward the sound thereof, and they did look steadfastly towards heaven, from whence the sound came. And behold, the third time they did understand the voice which they heard. And it said unto them, Behold, my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, in whom I have glorified my name, hear ye him. And it came to pass, as they understood, they cast their eyes up again towards heaven, and behold, they saw a man descending out of heaven. And he was clothed in a white robe, and he came down and stood in the midst of them. And the eyes of the whole multitude were upon him, and they durst not open their mouths, even one to another, and wist not what it meant, for they thought it was an angel that had appeared unto them. And it came to pass that he stretched forth his hand, and spake unto the people, saying, Behold, I am Jesus Christ, of whom the prophets testified should come into the world. Behold, I am the light and the life of the world. And I have drunk out of that bitter cup which the Father hath given me, and have glorified the Father in taking upon me the sins of the world, in the which I have suffered the will of the Father in all things from the beginning. Back to the 10th verse. And he was clothed in a white robe, and he came down and stood in the midst of them. And the eyes of the whole multitude were turned upon him. Peace came to them. They were overcome. The voice had prepared them, had touched them to the very soul, and had prepared them for such an appearance. And yet when Christ came among them, we know the rest of the story. And as I said a while ago, I mentioned that they would have his peace for hundreds of years. What would cause us, would a voice from heaven to us, would the appearance of angels, what would cause us to turn from the ways that we have that are not the ways of peace? That we might live a life that would in the end cause us, that we might stand before Christ to be judged. And have the greatest hopes as we stood there. that we could stand on his right hand. We are so imperfect. We slip so many times. Christ gave us his peace. That we might use, that we might live, that we might have salvation. And it is up to us whether that peace continues with us. You see, there is such a thing as peace among us. And when we're told that we must love our brother, our sister, when you think of that peace that is Christ, if that is in our lives, when we think of, when we meet with, when we go among our brothers and sisters, when our thoughts of them are, when our hopes of them, to aid them, to help them, to whatever, to be with them in their sorrows, their trials, whatever, if that peace is the peace of Christ, then we will have all understanding of what that peace means between us. Thank you.
Number 418. When you find your places, would you rise, please? Would you bow your heads with me, please? Our kind and gracious Heavenly Father, as we come to the close of this service, we are thankful, Father, for this time we've been able to spend together. We're thankful for the message of the hour, and we pray that we might endeavor to obtain that peace in our life and the truthfulness of thy gospel live each day. We ask again, Father, for those that aren't present, that your blessing would be upon them. We ask, Father, for each that is here, that you would go with us until we have opportunity to meet again, that you'd guide and direct us and help us that our light might shine forth in the world. And these things we do pray in Christ's holy name.